بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. There are certain expectations tied with certain times of the year. So when spring rolls around, we know what starts happening. The garden centers start going up. People start getting ready to plant their flowers and their vegetable plants. When March break comes around, people start thinking about taking a quick vacation. Summertime comes around. You know, it's wedding season. It's a season for outdoor events. December comes around, we know there's going to be a lot of sales, even though we're not celebrating Christmas. You know, there's going to be Black Friday, there's going to be Boxing Day, Black Friday in November, and so on and so forth. We know, one thing that we're noticing, is that with Ramadan coming back, and spring after a long winter being a time of rejuvenation and revival, one thing that we've noticed, or at least I've noticed, is that there are a number of fundraising events planned and coming up. Okay, mashallah. And this is before Ramadan. Okay, this is before Ramadan. And as Ramadan starts, then those appeals will start flooding into your inbox, in your postal mailbox, and there will be request after request after request. And even now, of course, we have the tragedy in Nepal with the earthquake. And of course, there are urgent appeals going out from various charities, including Islamic charities, for that as well. What happens is, especially if you know you are sort of under the eyes of the fundraisers, and mashallah, this community is one of those communities, it can become somewhat overwhelming, a bit tiring or burdensome when you have request after request after request, event after event after event, and they all have to do with the same thing, which is people trying to raise funds for some, mostly, pretty much all of them, very worthy causes. So the question becomes, who do you give to, and how much do you give? So how do you figure this out? How do you navigate your way around all these various causes that appear to be very good and very needed, with the, of course, the limited amount of resources that you have available? Because I don't care how rich you are, nobody is infinitely rich, okay? So you're going to have a limit to how much you're actually willing to spend, and so on and so forth. So we're going to try to tackle this today, inshallah. So you've got to set the fundamental criteria, okay, some basic principles. And one of those basic principles is that it, of course, should be something good. Okay, the cause needs to be something positive, something worthy of support, and most importantly, something that is actually pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so the cause and the way we support it needs to be something, or done in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should not be something in which either we engage in sin in order to support it, or we, of course, shouldn't be supporting which is something which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla tells us, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not help each other in sin and aggression. Okay, this is actually a really clear principle, because sometimes we get caught up in supporting this my group versus your group, and my party, my political party, my charity versus yours. And we get caught up in this. Okay, and sometimes it may lead us into supporting things, activities, causes, which are actually bad, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, or doing it in ways that Allah does not want. So for example, it's common to see many raffles taking places, right? Or charity lotteries, right? For hospitals, for other causes. Sometimes even in Muslim events, people may not realize that it's not something which is appropriate to have raffles. Okay, so we have to make sure that the cause that we're supporting and the way we are supporting it in are both appropriate and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one thing we also have to realize is that there's different ways of doing good. Okay, because sometimes, you know, this thing comes in our mind, especially if someone is closely aligned with a cause or with a project or with a certain, you know, group or whatever, certain party, the mindset sometimes becomes, because we become so passionate about it, that, oh, that my way or my cause is the only most worthiest cause, or is the only one that should be supported, or that everyone should come to. And this is a wrong approach. Because the Prophet ﷺ has indicated to us that there are numerous ways of doing good. And not, we're not just talking about financially, but just in terms of charity. And charity is not necessarily, or just, you know, just limited to financial support. Okay, there's different types of actions that we can do that are charitable. So the Prophet ﷺ has said that a charity is due for every joint and each person's body on every day the sun comes up. Think about that. Charity is due for every joint in each person's body on every day that the sun comes up. So essentially, charity is due upon us. The bare minimum amount is for every joint in our body, every single day that the sun comes up, which is like every day. Okay? So this is due upon us every single day. And then the Prophet ﷺ has given us different ways that we can actually do charitable acts. And when I was in Kingston, there was a brother who was doing a program, and inshallah, I loved what he said when he was talking about this. He said that, you know, Islam is about charity on the go. Islam is about charity on the go. Okay, you're walking around, you're involved in your business, whatever you're doing. And along the way, there's numerous opportunities for doing good, for doing acts of charity. So the Prophet ﷺ goes on and he says, to act justly between two people is a charity. To act justly between two people, to be fair, or to reconcile, help people, bring them together, do an act of justice, this is charity. To help a man with his mount, lifting him onto it, or hoisting up his belongings onto it, is charity. Now, of course, it could be a woman as well. Okay, so helping a person getting into their car or their transportation, helping them with their bags, with their luggage, this is an act of charity. A good word is a charity. And removing a harmful thing from the road is a charity. Okay, so you're out there doing some grocery shopping and you notice there's a cart in the middle of the parking lot. Okay, it could hurt someone, or, you know, somebody could crash into it. You remove it. Just push it to the side. It's an act of charity. You're walking, you notice a stone on the sidewalk, you kick it to the side, an act of charity. So the Prophet ﷺ has given us some examples explaining how, you know, there's different means, different acts could be forms of charity. The Prophet ﷺ was also asked, after mentioning this, that, you know, an act of charity is due upon every joint of a person's body every single day. He was asked, from where would we get something to give in charity so often? Because people were thinking, the Sahaba were thinking financially, or, you know, in terms of giving something. So Prophet ﷺ replied, similar hadith, that indeed the gates to goodness are many. Glorifying Allah, praising Him, magnifying Him. Okay? So saying Allahu Akbar, saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. These are all acts of charity. Enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong is another act of charity. Removing any source of harm from the road, an act of charity. Making the deaf hear and understand those who are hearing impaired, that is an act of charity. Guiding someone who is visually impaired, who is blind, that is an act of charity. Showing the seeker to his need. Nowadays people don't ask for directions as much because everyone's got a GPS, right? But back in the days, you know, people would stop, roll down the window and ask for directions. So to help someone, guiding them to their need or to where they're going, that is an act of charity. Hurrying with one's strength of one's legs to the one in sorrow, the one in despair, in need, who is asking for help, that is an act of charity. Supporting the weak with the strength of one's arms, that is also an act of charity. So the Prophet ﷺ said, all of these are acts of charity. And these are, of course, examples. The opportunities are limitless. Prophet ﷺ also added that smiling in the face of your brother is charity. removing of stones, thorns, bones from people's paths is charity. And you're guiding a person gone astray in the world is charity for you. Right? So there are many, many paths to goodness and to charity which are available to us on a daily basis, numerous times during our day. So there's many, many ways of doing good, non-financial, and the same goes for financial as well. When it comes to giving financial support, financial charity, the ways of doing good are also numerous as well. Now we know that when it comes to our zakatul mal, which is the obligatory zakat, the obligatory charity that we must give, the almsgiving on excess wealth that we do once a year, that we calculate at least once a year, and then we distribute. So that has specific purposes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that there are specific people, specific categories where that money should be going to. Okay? But voluntary charity, so anything you do on top of that, has many avenues. And if you think about it, there's actually three broad categories. Okay, so number one is helping those in difficulty. Okay, so alleviating pain or suffering or a need which is immediate. Okay, so for example, feeding the hungry. Okay, people who are hungry, they don't have enough to eat. And believe it or not, there's even people like that today in our city. And from time to time, we'll get appeals from Sadaqa Food Bank, from the Ottawa, food bank, from the Canada Food Cupboard, for, various needs that they have to give food to the needy. Okay, taking care of orphans, or, granting justice to someone and helping someone. We think about civil liberties and standing up for the wrongly accused and people who are, unfairly targeted. These are all forms of charity which involves helping those in difficulty. So essentially what you're doing is you're alleviating someone's difficulty, taking them out of their predicament and their hardship. For example, again, disaster relief, like the earthquake in Nepal, helping the homeless. All of this is wonderful, and it's something which is encouraged greatly by the Prophet ﷺ. And this is really a result of a person's mercy, because the Prophet ﷺ has told us that, we should be merciful towards the inhabitants of the earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful towards us. So when we see a fellow human being who is in need, who is suffering, who is in dire trouble, and the need is immediate, then of course that is a very strong reason to give and to help someone. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, another broad category that we find is the establishment and protection of the deen, okay, of our faith, of our religion. And this is another category which is highly praiseworthy. Okay, and it's actually, for most forms, it's actually a way of attaining perpetual charity, sadaqatul jariyah. Okay, perpetual charity, a charity that keeps giving you even after, even after you're gone, after you have moved on. Okay, and this can involve, for example, the building of a masjid, something which is highly meritorious, or aiding in the work of da'wah, of educating people about Islam, inviting them towards Islam. Whether it's a center that does this, or people who do this, or printed material, or CDs, or whatever it is, this is also something which is very commendable. Okay, and everyone has a responsibility to contribute towards that as well. Now, when we talk about perpetual charity, sadaqatul jariyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that when a person dies, إذا مات الإنسان قطع عنه عمله إلا من ثلاث. Okay, that when a person passes away, a person dies, his acts come to an end. He's not able to do any good. He's not able to offer any salah. He's not able to give any charity. He's not able to say a good word, even in his grave or her grave. Except for three things that continue giving. La min thalatha. La min sadaqatin jariyah. Okay, a recurring charity. Aw ilmin yuntafa'u bihi. Or a knowledge from which people benefit. Okay, so somebody wrote a book, or they taught someone, and this person learned, and then they're benefiting and they're passing it on. Well, that person is now dead in their grave, but they're still getting rewards because of the benefit that people are deriving from their efforts and from their work. Or Prophet ﷺ said the last one, a pious offspring who prays for the deceased. Okay, so you have children and you give them good tarbiyah, and with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they become pious and upright Muslims, and you pass away, and they remember you in their du'as after you have passed away, and they give sadaqah in your name. And inshallah, this is something which will continue to benefit you as well. Okay, so basically any form of charity which continues to benefit people. So the first category is something which normally would benefit just immediately. Now that doesn't mean that it's not meritorious. Of course, there's great virtue for feeding the needy and so on, and taking care of the orphans and widows and so on and so forth. But that is serving an immediate need. Okay? The second category we're talking about, serving and protecting the deen, and this normally would be something which continues even after you have gone. And finally, the third category, to benefit humanity and living beings, generally. Okay, by doing things which will continue to benefit people. So not necessarily religious in nature, but just things which generally will benefit people or even animals. Okay, even animals, because the Prophet ﷺ has told us that, you know, if someone has a garden and an animal comes and eats from that garden, that's charity, that's sadaqah. Okay, so the next time you plant some vegetables and a rabbit comes along, or a squirrel, and you know, messes up your garden, it's okay. That's sadaqah. Okay, it's not gone to waste. It's sadaqah, inshallah. You'll be rewarded for that. Okay, so benefiting living beings, benefiting human beings, and this normally, again, is something which is perpetual. So, for example, digging a well in an area where there's a shortage of water. We talked about water last week, right? Fruits and vegetables, I mentioned. Education, setting up schools and madaris and places where, you know, people learn the Quran and learn other things of benefit. Setting up a hospital, an orphanage, right? So all of these are opportunities for setting up ourselves for perpetual benefit, inshallah, by establishing means of helping people in different ways, or even helping animals. Okay. So these are the three broad categories. Now when it comes to the considerations, okay, so you have like 10 charities in front of you who are all looking for money and all looking for support. Okay. We have some of the basic criteria now. We know the different categories. Now what are the considerations that we should think about when we try to decide how much to give to whom? Okay, so number one, of course, is immediacy. Okay, so if there's someone who immediately needs help, okay, there's someone who is homeless in the community, their house burnt down, or they've been, you know, kicked out of their apartment or whatever, and they don't have a place to live, then of course that is some immediate need. Or someone who is hungry right now and they need to eat, of course that's an immediate need. Or even there's a masjid project and they're, you know, late on their payments and they're about to default and it's going to be a loss to the community and all the donations that people have given and to the cause of deen, then that is also something which is immediate. Or when there's a disaster. So basically when there is a desperate need for some type of assistance, for something which is encouraged or something that is recognized as a form of charity, then of course that would be our first consideration. Another important consideration is proximity, because the Prophet ﷺ has told us that, you know, if there's two people, we learn from his teaching, that if there's two people and they're both equally in need, okay, but one of them is your relative, then who has the greater right upon you? Your relative. Okay, so you should support those who are nearest you. So we learn from that, we can extrapolate from that, that yes, this goes in terms of relationships, but also in terms of geographic proximity as well. Okay, because we have an extra emphasis, we know, on helping our neighbors, looking out for our neighbors. Okay, so if we have a relative who's in need, yes, that they're close to us, we need to give to them. Okay, or if you have a neighbor, or something locally within our community that is happening. From all of these projects, these different categories I mentioned, something that is close to us in terms of proximity, then that has a greater right upon our charity. And finally, another consideration is impact. Okay, so how many people will benefit? And what is the potential for future returns in terms of benefit to people and also in terms of benefit to the donor with regards to their good deeds? Okay, so these are some of the important considerations to think about when we're trying to weigh one charity over the other, one cause over the other. Now here's my suggestion. Okay. I believe that it is a good policy to, number one, give to as many causes as possible. Okay. Any investor will tell you that. Any financial advisor will tell you that. Not in terms of giving, but in terms of investing. Okay. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلِى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help each other in righteousness and piety. So this is a responsibility upon each of us, that when we find another person and they're doing something which is commendable, they're doing something good, it's not objectionable, they're doing they're serving a good cause and they're looking for help, then there's a responsibility upon us to offer some assistance to them at the very least. And the Prophet ﷺ has also told us that مَنْ دَلَّ عَلَىٰ خَيْرٍ فَلَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ فَاعِلِ. That whoever guides to good has the like of the reward of the person who actually does it. Okay, think about that. Isn't that powerful? Whoever guides to good, okay, So, you know, a brother's looking around for where's Jum'ah, Salah. He doesn't know, he's walking around the parking lot, he's looking around at the swimming pool, or maybe not the swimming pool, but you know, at other places in the building. And you guide him, oh, Jum'ah Salah is being held in this gym. Okay, so you just guided that person here. Inshallah, you'll receive the same reward that they're going to receive for offering the Salah. Okay, so this indicates to us that being of assistance, it doesn't necessarily have to be guiding, but being of assistance in any way, facilitating good, qualifies the helper for the same reward as the person who is doing it. So now you think about all the various causes. Okay, you take part in it, even if you give a little bit, you take part in it, and you're facilitating that good. You're helping in making it happen. Okay, and inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you the reward that the people who are actually doing it or benefiting from it will get. Okay, so this is very, very powerful. And as we know, as I was mentioning investments, we want to diversify our investments for the hereafter. So the believer's policy really should be that I want to have a share in every good that takes place. I don't want any good to be happening except that I have a share in it. Just like, you know, if you have a really good business, a proposal or an investment, or you know, a really hot stock, and everyone wants to have a share in it, right? Because there's going to be great returns. So you want to have a share in every good that is taking place. Now, secondly, it's also a good idea, of course, to do your due diligence. Okay? So this means knowing who you are donating to, what are you donating for, what is their track record based on evidence, not hearsay, not what someone has told you, but based on evidence, based on, you know, the general feeling within the community, for example, or people of knowledge and piety, leaders in the community, you know, what is their track record? Okay, so you need to know a little bit, especially nowadays. Okay, you need to be careful. We need to know who we are donating to, how the money is going to be used, and so on and so forth. Okay, but at the same time, we go by what is apparent. Okay, meaning that we don't unnecessarily suspect motives and intentions and misuse without any evidence. Okay, we go by what is apparent. See, the Prophet ﷺ was invited to offer salah in Masjid al-Dirar. This was the masjid which was built as a competing masjid to Masjid Quba. Okay, so the Prophet ﷺ was invited, and these were who was building this masjid? Of course, it wasn't the Mu'mineen, it was the Munafiqeen who were doing this. Okay, the hypocrites, the Munafiqeen, built this masjid with a plot in mind and wanted the blessing of the Prophet ﷺ, so that they could say that yes, ours is a legitimate masjid as well. See that even the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has offered salah in our masjid. So Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say, oh, you know, you're munafiqun or you're whatever, so I'm not going to come. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took that at face value. He said, okay, maybe they're doing something good, perhaps they've changed, whatever the reason may be. Fine, I'll come. I can't come right now. He was busy in the expedition of Tabuk. So he said, I'll come once I return. Okay? But then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran which prohibited the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from going to that masjid. The masjid al-ussisa ala taqwa min awwal yawm ahqqa an taquma fihi. That the masjid that has been built upon a basis of taqwa from the first day, on a basis of piety, that is the masjid that is deserving of your prayer, or where prayer should be offered. Don't go to that place. So the Prophet ﷺ, once it became clear, then he did not go. But he didn't start off with a negative assumption. He started off with a positive assumption. Okay, so unless there is clear evidence that there is something amiss, we take everything at face value first, although we do our due diligence at a basic level so that we are assured of what's going on in that charity. Okay. Finally, if you can champion each cause, if Allah has given you the wealth, the opportunity, that you're convinced about various causes and you are able to champion the cause and give your time and your wealth, then mashallah, subhanallah, go ahead and do it. That's great. Okay. But if you're not able to, or if you're unsure, or if that cause is not a priority for you, or perhaps you can't just truly afford that much to give to everyone, then perhaps give even a little bit, even if it feels insignificant. Okay? So, okay, maybe it's a charity, you've heard some things about it, like, you know, legally they're not doing anything wrong, it's not legal or anything, they have charity status or whatever, but, you know, you're not sure about their approach, or, you know, you don't really necessarily agree with the cause type. Okay, they're asking for help, it's something good in general, then you still give a little bit so that you have a share in it. Okay? And every little bit counts. What really counts is the sincerity of the heart, the goodness of the heart. But see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that protect yourself from the fire. وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. Even if it's by half a date. Okay? To give in charity, protect yourself from the fire, even if it's with half a date. Now you think about it, what's the value of half a date? Not even a whole date. half a date. But the Prophet ﷺ has encouraged that, telling us, indicating to us that even a little bit is not insignificant, even a little bit counts. Prophet ﷺ encouraged, of course, giving between neighbors and families and so on. So he said that, if you prepare soup, O Abu Dharr, if you prepare broth, add water to that and give that, present it to your neighbor. Okay, even if it's diluted, even if it's not great in terms of what you would like to give, but if that's what you can afford, that's fine. Prophet ﷺ also said that, O Muslim woman, none of you should look down upon the gift sent by her neighbor, even if it were the trotters of the sheep, meaning the fleshless part of the leg. Okay, but there's no meat in it, it's just bones. And your neighbor gives you that, you should still appreciate it and not look down upon that. So every little bit is appreciated, every little bit counts. Okay, this is what we learn from that. And finally, what we want to look at every opportunity for giving charity as not a burden, but a true opportunity from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because instead of thinking, oh man, here we go, another fundraiser. Okay, another, okay. No, the approach should be that, oh, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me another opportunity. Allah azza wa jal has given me another opportunity to take part in some khair, in some work of goodness. Allah azza wa jal tells us that, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ. That surely those who recite Allah's book and have established salah, have spent secretly and openly, meaning to please Allah, not to show off, from what we have provided to them, they hope for a trade that will never crash. I really like this translation because it brings back memories of the stock market crash. Okay, so this is a trade that will never crash. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that He pays them for their rewards in full and gives them more out of His grace. Surely He is most forgiving and very appreciative. Okay, so you go ahead and you do it, and it's a great trade inshallah, and you will receive great rewards more and more and more. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will arrange to give and to make these various causes fulfill their needs. Okay, Allah doesn't need us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us opportunities to have a share. And that, of course, it will not decrease our wealth. It's a source of blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And you must be doing it with the right intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our hearts. May Allah Azza wa Jal remove the love of our wealth from our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those who give to please Allah sincerely and who support each other in all works of goodness. Ameen wa akhira da'wana. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I have a brief message from Brother Jamal, inshaAllah. So,